Pastor of the church here, and it's my great joy to welcome you into worship. And all of you, regulars, Fressing Fielders, welcome as we come to worship this morning. Music team, come and join us so we're ready to go. Just take a moment, prepare ourselves and our hearts as we come to worship this morning. We're coming to the presence of God. He's a great God. He's a loving God. He's a gracious God. But he's also a holy God. And it's not good for us just to rush in and think we can come any old how. He does welcome us as we are, but we have a responsibility to prepare ourselves. And as we do this morning, I'm going to invite you to pray with me a prayer of confession. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not always loved you with our whole heart. We have not always loved our neighbor as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been, help us to amend what we are, and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. And with those words, we come to worship our Lord in song. We're going to sing two songs this morning, Blessed Assurance. But first, we're going to sing Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone.
Lost.
thankful for your amazing grace, that undeserved favor towards us. While we were still enemies at Christ, Jesus died for us, paying the price for our sin. We're glad to be here together this morning to worship you, to praise you, to lift your name on high. And we thank you for the confidence that we have because of Jesus. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Thank you, Jesus, that you're ours. And whilst you're ours, and whilst we are yours, we are safe. Safe for time and safe for eternity. So we ask that our praise and our worship in song and word and thought this morning will be pleasing to you, our Lord. Amen. Let's sing, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine.
It's great to see families with us this morning and toddlers. We're going to do something slightly different this morning because normally I'll do a focus just for the children. But whilst we're all here, we're going to have a little focus on something that happens that most of us don't see, but we will have heard of. And that is the local food bank. We have a little box in our entrance area, in our foyer, which you will have seen as you come in. But we've never really said much about it. We really want to start to lift that ministry up. And Liz is very involved with that. She gives volunteer time every week. And I've asked Liz just to come and share a little bit about Food Bank this morning.
So we go every week, we being Martin and me, to I work this thing, yes. So here's a map. Martin is, I hope, going to point out where we go. It's in the middle of nowhere. And it's a warehouse. It's working on it. The warehouse. There, in the middle. So we go to the warehouse in our cars. And this is where the warehouse is on the overview. That building there, that small area at the back, is the area we have for the warehouse. The little white blob next to it is the van. So we get in the van. There's Martin in the van. You can't really see him. But we also wear very fetching food bank tabards to keep us safe. So you can maybe just make out his orange stripe of his thing. So there is a second warehouse over near Broome on the A140, which is about three times the size of ours, and food goes between the two as required. So when we get in the van, filled up with boxes, we drive to Beccles, and we deliver boxes to Beccles Primary Academy, different boxes from these ones. We deliver them to Hungate, and then we go down to Halesworth, where we deliver boxes to St. Mary's Church. So this is the kind of box we use now. They're reusable and contain just the right amount of food for what we need to do. While we're on our journeys, we also collect food. So we collect from St. Mary's in Halesworth and the Co-op in Halesworth. There's another drive that goes out and delivers to St. Luke's in Beccles and pick up from Tesco's and Morrison's. We also deliver to Porringland, which is well off this map, but we fortunately don't have to go there every week. So I can't remember what the next picture is. Oh, there's a filled van. This was a day when we had a lot to take to St. Luke's. So it's back from December 2021 when we were using cardboard boxes due to COVID. And that's the entrance to the church filled with the boxes, but also with crates of extra things, because they're things we can't put in boxes, but we get them donated and they go out to people who hopefully can use them. And since it was coming up on Christmas, it's probably nice to have a can of Coke. So the other day we went into the warehouse and I took this picture because these shelves are comparatively empty. You can see there's a space there. Normally the crates are stacked too high and full. These crates should all be on the shelves full of food. But there's a lot of need at the moment. This is the office, which is normally stacked full with food, but it's significantly empty now. These boxes on the left are empty. The only food is over in the right-hand corner. This is perhaps why. So these are the numbers from June that I took off Food Bank Matt's Facebook page. And you can see how the number of people wanting food has increased each year. This is a list of the contents of a box, which you probably can't see very well, so I'm sorry about that, but you can always get a copy. That's for one person, two people, three or four people. So the contents of the boxes are much the same, just different amounts if you've got a family. If you're a family of more than four, that's also catered for. We also can cater for diabetic needs and for meat-free.
I work with Rosemary at the food bank in London Road, Holston. There is many people now that come in, and our motto is, anyone who needs short-term food support, we will support and supply. People get a voucher that issues them a code, and that's what we give out, the vouchers. You can get them from the Help Hub. You can get them from Citizens Advice, the housing officer, health visitors, social worker, local schools. And there is an emergency helpline as well where you can also get vouchers. They come in to us for food boxes. Like Liz said, a single is one box, a couple is two, and a family is three. We also deliver. We delivered a lot in COVID. We deliver to disabled, the villages, people with no transport. Like Liz said, we get diabetic, gluten-free, vegetarian. And the food in the boxes are designed to last for 3 days. We also have a table that has extras on, which is out of date, donations that do not go into the boxes that are not on the list. We have extras like bread from the Tudor Bakery that donate the bread that's left over at the end of the day to us. We also have a section where they can get personal bits, washing powder, cleaning bits, if we have them available. We can give out fresh food if you let me or Rosemary know or can get it to us. We also use mine and Rosemary's freezer for the bread and anything you would like to donate that can be frozen. We do give out animal food as well. Don't give us furniture. We can't do that. Most things we can donate to people in need. If you do have anything, let either of us know. We don't just give out food. We're there to listen. We're there to help people, signpost them in the right directions. Many have debts, help they need with family. We help them to access the right help and refer them to the right people. It's getting more like a counselling service as well. Sometimes the people that come in don't see other people from week to week. Nothing now surprises me since I've worked with Rosemary at the food bank. We do have our regulars, and we do also have people that are really, really ashamed to come in and ask for help. This is becoming more and more common, and they are going to areas not near them. We are crying out at the moment for carrier bags still, because they come in the boxes and we have to give them out and we need carrier bags to put them in. I've also had a message from Matt this morning through Rosemary that we are in desperate need of tinned meat and tinned fruit. Thank you.
There's just one more thing that I want to say. You all know how to give food to Food Bank, I would imagine, because we've got a box here. Boxes in most supermarkets, but they are collected from only once a week, and then it takes another week before the food goes out. So please don't use those for fresh food. What I have come across, and I hated it, bananas at the bottom of a big supermarket crate, not usable, and somebody's made the effort, and it's a real shame. So if you want to give fresh food, then speak to Rosemary or Fiona. We will take tinned food from here to the warehouse. But we don't take the carrier bags. We let Rosemary have the carrier bags if you bring them. The food is all weighed in at the warehouses and they're all accounted for. Right, I think that's all done.
That's really helpful and informative. And I think we just need to pray. And I think it's praying for these kind of things. Most of us probably have come from homes where we've got loads of food, loads of variety. There are those that obviously that don't. It's easy to ask the wrong kind of questions, almost sometimes to look down and say, well, they need to manage themselves a bit better. Sometimes they can't manage because of mental health issues, just circumstances of life that they've been thrown into. It's really important that we're a generous-hearted group of people. I want to encourage us to get our boxes full regularly as we give them away to other people. Let's just pray right now. Father, we thank you for those who are involved in this work, this volunteer ministry in our local area. And we pray for wisdom for all of those who are involved with it. We feel it's a bit of an indictment on our culture and a society that there are people in this kind of situation. Would you keep us from ever having a judgmental spirit, but would you put in us a liberal, generous-heartedness that is willing to give and support and maybe ask the questions and signpost afterwards. Thank you for those who are connected with us that give, and we pray that we will support them. We pray that people in this village who are in need, whether it's through Food Bank or whether just through individual donations and support, will know that your people, whether they're part of this church or whatever church, that we are people who reflect your love, which is to look after the poor and the needy. So would you help us to reflect your heart and bless this ministry, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, we're going to sing a song. And then it will be time for Christ to go out. We're going to sing a song that the children were singing. We are down on children. I don't know, did you have many in Lighthouse this morning? You must be a bit down this morning. We're going to sing a song that cheers the children up, that God always keeps his promises. And that's a great thing for us to remember. There are actions that go with it. The video has got a little girl on here, little lady on here that does the actions. Children, if you want to join in with that, or grown-ups, if you want to join in with the actions, you are very welcome too. But let's use this song as a reminder and worship the Lord that he's a God who always keeps his promises. So stand up so you can tap your foot more easily, even if you don't do the actions. Here we go.
Promises. He said the sons of Abraham would be more than the grains of sand, and so his family grew underneath the Pharaoh's rule. Oh God, he always keeps his promises. He said the blood upon the door will keep the Israelites secure, and so he stayed his head.
You know people in your life, in your family, that are going through times this morning. I'm going to give you space as we start our prayer time just to lift those to the Lord. Just quietly in your own heart, in the quietness of the place, just lift those people, those situations, and then I'll lead us in some prayers. Father, we thank you that in the silence, the quietness of our hearts, the silence of this room, that you look and you hear. The Bible talks about you inclining your ear to us. We thank you that you do that more often than we realize. You are ready, you're waiting for us to pray, to ask, to come to you, our Father. Thank you that for the words of that song, that you're a God who always keeps your promises. Even though we mess up, even though we fail, even though we wander away, you always keep your promises. We want to say thank you to you for that today. As we confessed at the beginning of our service, we haven't loved you as we should do. We haven't loved our neighbours, our friends, our families as we should do. Maybe we've said things or thought things or done things. But we thank you that you're a faithful God. And we thank you for Jesus who died on the cross to take our sins, to bear that guilt that should have been ours so that we could be your children and we could have this privilege. And so it is in that privilege, humbly, that we come to you today with our prayers. And we pray for one another. And Father, within our church here, there are many other needs, some of them too private for us to talk about, to pray about out loud. And we would just lift each other up to you this morning. We pray that we might be a burden-bearing church, that we might be a loving, patient group of people, brothers and sisters, always caring for each other, always going the second mile, always being willing to give of our own coat, always willing to help. We pray that we might feel that and that those who are going through difficult times would know that. Help us to be people of grace and forgiveness. I thank you that that is the history of this church. May it always be that way. Father, as we come now to look at your word, pray that you'll speak to us, teach us, encourage us, build us up, give us something to go out with from yourself this morning that will have been here. Yes, it will have been nice to sing some songs. Yes, it would have been nice to caught up with family and friends. But Lord, our prayer is now that you will speak to us, that we will go out saying, the Lord spoke to me today. I had an encounter with Jesus through his word. Hear us now then as we come to it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we come to God's word, will you turn with me to Psalm 116. Psalm 116. And we're going to be thinking this morning about the cup of salvation. The cup of salvation. We'll read it through, and as we read, you will see where that comes in this wonderful psalm. Psalm 116. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he, here's that phrase, he turned his ear to me. I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I trusted in the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted. In my alarm, I said, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and I will call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Truly, I am your servant, Lord. I serve you as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of his people, in the courts of the houses of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Yes, indeed. We're going to think about that cup of salvation and lifting up the cup of salvation. But I have to put it in the context of what has gone beforehand. The context of Easter, the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus said to his Father, when he prayed to the Father, he said, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. The truth is that Jesus once drank a very bitter cup. He was given the cup from his Father, and in that cup was everything that was disgusting, sickening, odious, everything that repulsed the holy Jesus. He pleaded for it to be taken away, if it was possible. But it wasn't. And so he took it and he drank it to the bitter end. It was the cup in which your sin and my sin that he took for himself, that he who knew no sin became sin for us. He took all of our sins. Let's keep this in context this morning as we think about the cup of salvation, that we could take up the cup of salvation because Jesus first took up the cup of our sin. Jesus had a bitter cup to drink. And the truth is, sometimes the Father will give us a bitter cup too. Sometimes in our lives there are circumstances, there are trials, there are hard things that he asks us to do for him, to endure for him. And it is tough. It is tough. It was hard for Jesus, and it's hard for us. But the blessing of God comes when we take that cup from him. That's the cup of suffering. It's not what I want to focus on this morning, but there is a context, because this cup, the cup of salvation, comes because Jesus had the cup of suffering to drink. You see, the flip side is that we have this cup, but because Jesus took the bitter cup, we have the cup of salvation to drink. And the cup of salvation, I want to show you to this morning, is better, it is stronger, it is sweeter than any of the bitterness that Jesus drank for us. It is the cup that will give us the strength to overcome the difficult times. It is the strength that will, the cup that will overwhelm the pain and the bitterness of the trials of life. The cup of salvation gives us strength and courage and hope and confidence when all around is dark and black. And I want to encourage you this morning to drink this cup, to drink the cup of salvation. What is it? What are we talking about? Well, in a nutshell, the cup of salvation is all that Jesus died to secure for us. It's all that Jesus secures for us through his death. Before I went into Christian ministry, when I first left school, I went to work in quality control in a food factory. It happened to specialize in producing pickles. But my responsibility, my little bit, was in quality control to make sure that the produce that went out of the factory was fit for human consumption. And it tasted good and it looked good. And I think because of that, part of that was tasting. All of the tomato sauce that we made, all of the our version of Branston pickle, all of the gherkins and the onions and the walnuts, they were all brought up to the lab and we had to test them before they went out. So each batch was, a little sample was taken and we had to pass it and it was going to be okay. Then they would use it and they would fill the jars with it. And in the course of that, most of it technically was done chemically by titration or through refractometers and that kind of stuff. But in the course of being there, I would just dip my finger in and taste it. And I could tell them, that's okay. No, that's too salty. That's got too much sugar in it. That's not strong enough vinegar. You need to put some more, whatever it was that they put in it. And I think because of that, those 4 or 5 years of dipping my finger in products of all different kinds of things, raw materials as well as the finished product, I think I developed a thing, and my family teased me for it, because we'll eat something and I'm going, just to try and get the flavors. What are the spices? What are the herbs? It's a nightmare trying to eat Indian because you never know quite what's in it. And I don't know half of them. But I like to taste food. I like to think, what is in this? What are the ingredients that have gone into this? This morning, I want to do the same, just for a few minutes. What is in the cup of salvation? Let's take it out. Let's investigate. Let's get the flavors that are in this lovely cup. Number one, in the cup is forgiveness and cleansing from sin. When you take up this cup of salvation, when Jesus gives us the cup, in it for us is forgiveness and cleansing from sin. If you are any kind of Christian this morning, the presence of sin in your life, the remembrance of things that you've done that have hurt the Lord, will at times get you down. It will stifle your joy when you know you've done something or thought something or said something, and you'll go out and you'll think, ah, why have I done that again? And if you're struggling with it, it will stifle your joy like nothing else. You'll look back on your life and you'll see scars and you'll see mistakes and you'll recognize rebellion against God. There'll be stains on your life against the God that you love and a God that you serve. And I'll tell you this, Satan will make sure that you know about it. Satan will remind you of those mistakes. I want to remind you this morning that in the cup of salvation that Jesus wants you to take up is forgiveness and wholeness and cleansing, perfect cleansing from sin, because he dealt with them. He took those sins. He took those in the cup of suffering that he drank. He took every single one of them. He paid the price for them, and his resurrection was the receipt of acceptance and pleasure from the Father. And as a result, the Father has declared you, trust you person who is trusting in Jesus, he has declared you to be innocent, completely free of every trace and stain of sin. He has, the Bible word is justified you. It's a legal word. He's declared you to be innocent of all of those things. Cleaned you completely, washed and forgiven. Maybe you're here this morning and you've got a guilty conscience. Then take up the cup of salvation, knowing that you've been forgiven. Drink it in and rejoice in it. The second thing that's in the cup of salvation is adoption into God's family. Having the full rights of being a child of God, of being an heir of God. Loved by God, part of his family. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 speaks about looking at the love the Father has lavished on us that we might be called the children of God. And then John says something else. He doesn't say, just behold the love of God that has been lavished upon us that we might be called the children of God. He says, and that is what we are. It's one thing to know the theory, isn't it? He wants us to really believe it. That is what we are. You're a believer in Jesus. You've trusted Jesus as your Savior. You are a child of God. You have been forgiven. You have been adopted into his family. Do you know this morning that Father loves you as much as he loves his son, Jesus? You're an adopted child, a son or a daughter of God. And that means that this morning he's watching over you. He's caring for you. For some of you, that's probably really good news. You need to know that the Lord is watching over you at the moment. You need to know that you're safe in his care. You know that he fawns over you, that he's protecting you, that he's guarding you, that he's helping you because you're his child. It means that he's with you wherever you go, whenever you go. However you go, you don't have to have an appointment to meet with him. It means you have a great inheritance to look forward to at the end of his life. It means that you will get to enjoy heaven. This is what is in the cup of salvation that Jesus purchased for you at Calvary. Forgiveness, adoption, and a whole new start. A whole new start. If we've messed up, then a new start is what we need, isn't it? I have so many people say to me, and you've probably had it said to you, and maybe you felt it, I just needed a new start. And Jesus spoke to a man called Nicodemus, and Nicodemus was a good man, he was a religious man, but he didn't know Jesus. He's not forgiven, but he came to Jesus at night for whatever reason and got into a conversation, and Jesus said, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. Now Nicodemus couldn't get his head around that. He thought that he'd got to become a baby, go back into it. He was thinking physically, but that's not what Jesus was meaning. He was meaning spiritually, a new heart. The Bible says that anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. When we are born again, when we come to Jesus, when we ask him to forgive us, then there's a new start. That is in this cup of salvation. He's given you a new start. When Jesus was here on earth, the healings that he did were not simply to show kindness. They were to demonstrate the new start that comes in him. So when he made people see again, when he healed the people that were born blind, it was a new start. It was a picture, if you like, of the new start that Jesus gives us, of being able to see things with fresh eyes. When he opened the ears of people so they could hear, it was a sign of how it would be, what he would do spiritually. They would hear him and hear his voice and understand. When he healed the lame so that they could walk, it would be like to give strength to people. It's what he does when he saves us. He gives us a strength and inner resolve to keep going when otherwise we would stumble and fall with weakness. All of those things, it's indicative of the new start. And you already have that new start. I encourage you this morning, go back and rejoice in that. Enjoy what he's given to you. He says, I will lift up the cup of salvation. So there is this cup that is here. Those are the three things. There's other things as well, but they're the three that I'll drop with you this morning. Forgiveness, adoption, this new start. And who's it for? Well, the psalmist here says that I will lift up the cup of salvation. But in truth, this is a cup for anybody. And it might be that you're here, and I know some of you are here this morning, and you've not yet made that step of trusting Jesus as your Savior. You know him, you respect him, but you've not yet come to a point of submission and commitment to him. Then here is an invitation for you this morning to take up this cup of salvation. Take it and enjoy it. It's here for you. In Isaiah chapter 55, there's an invitation where it says, come, all of you who are thirsty, come and drink. Those of you who have no money, those of you who feel you've got nothing to give in return, come and drink. This is the offer of Jesus. And he's making it to you again this morning. For some of you, it might be the first time. He's saying it to you. He says, come to me. Come and drink. Come and receive this cup. I've taken the bitter cup. I've taken those sins. And now I want you to have this. It's here for you. Would you come and receive it this morning? And come and know and experience and enjoy the blessings that come from it. But most of us here are those who are believers. Most of us are those who've come to that point of trusting Jesus. And it's like he says here, I want you to notice this. You see, the context in the psalm is that the psalmist has obviously gone through a tough time. In verse 3, he says, the cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. I called on the name of the Lord, save me. And it's clear the Lord saved him. In verse 11, he says, I called in my alarm. I said, you see here, the man was in great trial. Verse 10, he says, I'm afflicted. And so he cried to the Lord, and the Lord lifted him. The Lord saved him. The Lord changed his mind and his heart and his way of looking at things. He rescued him. And then in verse 12, he says, what shall I return for the Lord, to the Lord, for his goodness to me? And his response, I will lift up the cup of salvation. Now, if you're a Christian here this morning, you have been rescued. The Lord has heard your cry. He's heard your prayer for salvation. He has given you a new start. He has adopted you into his family. He has forgiven you of all of your sin. He's cleansed you completely. So the question is, what shall I return to the Lord for that? What can I do to show my gratitude for all his kindness to us? And the psalmist's response is, I'm going to take up the cup of salvation. I'm going to enjoy what he's done for us. You know, the greatest way that you can show your appreciation of Jesus is to enjoy what he's given you. It's to enjoy it. I know the psalmist talks here about fulfilling my vows and calling on the name of the Lord. Yes, praying and being obedient is good, but he puts first here, I'm going to lift up the cup of salvation. I'm going to lift it up. I'm going to rejoice in it. I'm going to celebrate in the goodness of God. If you go out for a meal and somebody gives you some food and I say, would you like some more? The best way of showing that you enjoy that food is by, oh, yes, please. I'd love some more. Or if it's, oh, it was wonderful, but I couldn't manage another mouthful. You're not quite sure what where that's coming from. It could be that you have had enough, genuinely are full. But you know, when somebody says, oh, that was lovely, I couldn't feed, but yeah, go on, it was so lovely, I'm going to have another bit. That shows you're enjoying it. And with our salvation, the best thing we can do is rejoice in it. It's not taking it for granted. It's not saying to the Lord, it's not being ridiculously over positive and all of that. The best thing is by saying, yes, Lord, I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to accept what I am and I'm going to rejoice in it and I'm going to live in the light of it. So it means I'm going to embrace forgiveness and I'm not going to walk around being guilty all the time. I'm a child of God. I've been saved. I've been set free. I'm going to live humbly, but I'm going to revel in being free from guilt and sin. I'm going to live free because Jesus has said, the Son has come to set you free. And I can do all things in Christ. I'm not going to live as a victim. I'm going to rise above self-pity. I'm not going to be feeling, oh, woe is me all the time. I'm going to focus on him and be the victor. Because in Christ, we're more than conquerors. I'm going to step out in faith. I'm going to enjoy what Jesus has won for me on the cross. No more limping through life, being injured, reveling in our misfortune, bemoaning what's happened to us or what other people have done. We're going to focus on Jesus. We're going to run free and enjoy Jesus. We're not what we will be, but we are what we are. We are the children of God. We have been forgiven, adopted into his family. What is the greatest thing that we can do today? To show our gratitude is to live like we are, to live what we are in Jesus. It is to live positive. It is to say to have a testimony, God is good. Yes, my life has got this and that's going on, but you know what? God is good and he's promised me this. He's good and he's told me that I'm his, and I failed, but you know what? I'm still loved by God. And I'm struggling in life, and life is rubbish at the moment. Do you know what? I've got heaven to look forward to, though. This is what it means to lift up the cup of salvation. This is what it means to glorify God in our lives. What shall I return to the Lord for his goodness to me? What will you return to the Lord for his goodness for you today? My prayer is that together and alone in our lives, we will lift up this wonderful cup of salvation and rejoice and revel in all that God has done for us, knowing that we're forgiven, knowing that we're free, knowing that we're adopted, knowing that we're cleansed, knowing that we've got hope in the future. God bless us. God bless you. God bless his word to us. Let's go out from this place this week. Let's live in the light of what we are, that people would see something different, the joy of the Lord flowing through our lives for his name's sake. Let's sing a song that I think reflects a lot of that this morning. The song is, I am who you say I am. Who am I that the highest king would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Father, we are humbled at your grace to us. We're humbled that though we were sinners, you came and you died for us, and you've adopted us, you've cleansed us, all of these wonderful things, and you've, because of you, we can say I'm a child of God. It's almost too good to be true, but it is true. And we thank you. We thank you. We worship you. And we want to say humbly, I am what you say I am. Help us to live this week in the light of it. And may others see your joy and your peace and your comfort and your strength in us. However weak, however difficult our path may be at the moment, may people still see your joy, your peace, your grace, your strength flowing through us, that we would draw people to you because they want to know what we have and they want to know the God that we have. Thank you for your wonderful love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your kindness to us. Now send us out full of yourself, full of your spirit, full of your joy. We ask for your glory. Amen.